It is good to have everyone here this morning. Got a real good number. Had one for Sunday school. That's a little bit higher than what we've been experiencing. And we want to exhort you to keep coming to Sunday school. Bring your children. I think that you'll be very happy that you have done that. I don't know about this ugly sweater. What's this ugly sweater thing? Is that... I don't have an ugly sweater, but I got a pair of socks that'll run anybody off, I'll tell you that. They are hot pink socks. Thank you, Connor, very much. I really appreciate that. But I would win that contest if I did that. We are happy to have everybody here this morning, and we've got some that are out. If you're wondering where Beverly is, she was here earlier. The lady that lived next door to her mother passed away. Her name was Martha Martin, out on Hammett Hill. And Beverly grew up with all of her children, and the funeral is at 1 o'clock, and they didn't have any visitation other than right now. So she had to leave in order to get there. But anyway, that's where she is right now. But hopefully, the Sandage family is taking care of our other responsibilities, and we'll do the best we can here, I guess. What I want to talk to you about this morning, I went through the Bible and picked out 6 confessions. Obviously, this is not all of them in the Bible, but I picked out 6 in which the person who is being spoken of right here said specifically, as you heard Brad read just a minute ago, said the 3 words there, "I have sinned, I have sinned, I have sinned." And you'll notice that what Brad read to us there just a moment ago in Luke chapter 15, that particular confession maybe is more notable than any other, and I'm going to save it for last to speak on this morning. But as we speak on these other 6 confessions, what I want to bring to our mind, the reason that I'm doing this morning, is because, as we often say, of the times that we live in today, I wonder how long it's been since you heard somebody say, "I have sinned." How long has it been since you have heard somebody say, "I have sinned"? Doesn't make any difference what they've done, how bad that it is, but I don't hear that anymore in society. I don't know where people think they're too good to say that now. I don't know if they think that it's too belittling to say, or they just don't have enough humility to say it, even though they've been caught. No, nobody says that. Now, they might say, "Well, I made a little mistake there. Maybe I should have handled that different." The last 2 or 3 weeks, I don't know a thing in the world about all this electronic gadgets, but people will get on there on Facebook and other things, and they'll make some kind of a statement about something, and then it don't go over very well, and then they'll have to take it back. I'm sure those of you that are better versed than I am on that know what I'm talking about. They'll get on there and they'll say something they shouldn't, and then they have to take it back. But nobody says, "I have sinned." And I think about some of the things that all of us are familiar with that's happened over the past few years. I'm talking about tremendous mistakes, tremendous sins that people have made, but they really never come back and say, "I have sinned." I was thinking the other day about John Edwards. Many of you will remember John Edwards. He was a candidate in a recent election as to be chosen for Vice President of the United States, and boy, did he mess up. He messed up real bad. And I think that he apologized in a lot of ways, but I never did hear him say, "I have sinned," and he did sin. He did sin. He was one of the most remarkable young men that we had at that time to become the next Vice President of the United States. He really messed up bad in his life, but he was brilliant. Good-looking young man, had his whole future ahead of him, and he blew it just like a lot of people just blows it. But he never did say, I have sinned. And remember the Tiger Woods fiasco that we had 2 or 3 years ago? Tiger Woods. And he messed up. He messed up big time. Lost his marriage, his children, and everything else. We don't hear as much about him. Well, he was everybody's idol there for a little while. Boy, he was going strong, but he messed up, and he messed up big time. But I never did hear him say, I have sinned. And he did. And I think about O.J. Simpson. Everybody remembers O.J. Simpson and all of that. O.J. Simpson's in jail right now. He didn't go to jail for the thing that he sinned so big in. Not that there wasn't sin connected with the second go-around. But even after all these things that he was not convicted of, he never did come right out and say, I've sinned. Now, he did acknowledge that he made some mistakes along the way. And you know, the history books are going to be full of it. Richard Nixon was president of the United States, and he sinned. But I remember him getting on television. This has been a lot of years ago. Some of you are too young to remember it, but I remember him getting on television and saying, I am not a crook. Remember that? I remember him saying that. He never did say he didn't sin, and he did. And today, for the next few minutes, I'm going to tell you about some people in the Bible that they admitted that they did. They blew it. But the problem with the way that they said it and what they did, it sort of gives you pause as to whether they were really sincere. Now, we can't look into somebody else's heart and tell when they're sincere or when they're not. Only God can do that. I can't look at somebody and make some kind of a judgment on that person to see about his sincerity. It's not in me to do it. It's not in you either. All you can go by is maybe the tenure of the way that the person says the things that he says and some of the events that are around it. But I'm thinking about one this morning, a fellow that we know. We don't know his name, but we know that he was the Pharaoh of Egypt. And it was during the time that Moses went down to Egypt. You can read about this in Exodus chapter 9. Moses goes down to Egypt with the sole purpose of having Pharaoh to let God's people go. All of you remember that story, right? This means you remember that. And God told Moses, he said, you tell Pharaoh that if he don't let my people go, he's going to wish he did. I'll put it that way. He's going to wish he did. And so God started sending plagues, just one plague, one after another. And on the seventh plague, of course, it took a long time for him to get the message, didn't it? On the seventh plague, which was hail, and you see all these hailstones falling and everything, and it's got, I don't know how bad it was, but it is damaging. But that time, I know Pharaoh comes to Moses and he said, Hold it. I have sinned. I know the reason that God is sending these plagues on Egypt and on my people. It's because I've sinned, he said. But I look at that and I see that and I think to myself, if this is that bad and it's disrupting you that, and it's that dangerous, maybe even people getting killed by it, why didn't you do it on the fifth plague or the third plague or even the first plague? But he waits till the seventh plague before he says, I have sinned. And even then, it seems to us, as we read that story, that the only reason he said it, he wouldn't say it then, if it hadn't been a crisis. How many times today does somebody have to be in crisis before they will admit to God that they sinned? And as I say, even then, sometimes in crisis, people still won't say it. They'll admit to some mistake, but they don't really come right out and say, I've sinned. But he said, I have sinned, and it looked like, the way we read this, that the reason he did it, because he had a crisis. He had to do something. He had to do it rather than pay for something. Out of all of those plagues, I don't know that hailstones was the worst of them. Might have been the worst to him up to that point right there, the hail. It wouldn't seem that would be one, but it was. He said, I've sinned. So sometimes people confess sin when they've got a crisis. If they don't have a crisis,
And it hadn't caught up with them yet, then they're not going to say it. They're not going to say it. I have seen it.
Second one up here is one that I call two-faced. This is about a man whose name is Balaam.
Most of us know the story about Balaam. Balaam was a prophet. He wasn't a prophet of Israel, but he was a prophet down in Moab, and the children of Israel were about to inherit the land. And King Balak, he tells Balaam, he said, I want you to go over there, and I want you to pronounce a curse on them. And I'm going to give you some money, and you'll have prestige, and you'll have notoriety. And Balaam knew that wasn't right. He knew that it wasn't right. But he was prepared to do it because the reward seemed to be so great. So much like people today, it's uncanny. And remember how that Balaam, he's riding a donkey, and he's riding the donkey along here, and all of a sudden an angel pops up out in front of him, but God wouldn't let him see the angel. He only let the donkey see it. And when that donkey saw that angel, he, it's what we used to, again, whenever we were boys and those of you were hard, we say a child. He wanted to avoid it. He wanted to avoid it. And there were two or three little events that happened right there, and he just absolutely couldn't see that angel. But when the donkey ran into the wall and crushed his foot, it kind of woke him up and everything. Then God let him see the angel. And Balaam got off of that donkey, and he was so mad, he said, I'll just take my sword and kill him. And the donkey talks back to him. And he said, why do you want to kill me for? I've always been your beast. I've done everything here. And Balaam's talking to the donkey, and the donkey's talking to him, and he ain't got this stuff to realize. Donkeys don't talk to people. He is that mad. He said, have you ever got mad enough at an animal that if the animal talked back to you, you wouldn't even realize it? That's how mad that he was. And finally, at the outset of it, he finally comes. God told him, he said, you're not going to go down there and put a curse on my people. That's what you think you're going to do. You think you're going to get money and fame and honor and prestige and everything, but you're not going to do that. And Balaam came to himself and he said, I have seen it. I said, I've done the wrong thing. But at least he said it, and of course it didn't get done. Point number three that we put on the board is a two-party confession. Not only do I believe that people today only admit wrong in crisis, or that they are two-faced about it, but also I think two-hearted. And the one that I want to use, this one about two-hearted, is a man whose name is Saul. He's king of Israel. Now I know that Saul has been raised right. Fathers, mothers, think about your children. You know how you raised your children. Saul was raised right. Saul was raised to honor and to respect his father. He was raised to know how to work. And in this story we see that Saul's daddy's name is Kish. And the Bible says that Kish and donkeys, we talk about Balaam's donkeys all gone. Kish had a bunch of them, and they got out. Anybody that's ever raised livestock, whether it be donkeys or horses or cattle or hogs or especially goats, know that sometime or other they're going to get out what he's got out. And they left home, boy, I mean, they left the country. And so, Kish tells his son Saul, he said, son, I want you to go find them donkeys and get them home. So he takes the servant with him, and he's gone and gone and gone, and the old man, he begins to worry about him rather than the donkeys. And we see that he's got the right kind of heart. That's one heart that he's got. But later on, we discover he's got another heart. It's a different kind of heart. It's a heart that when God says, Saul, you're king, now I want you to go down to the Amalekites, and I want you to utterly destroy them all. I'm sick of it. I've been telling them for hundreds of years that their day was coming. Well, their day's come. Now you go down there and do what I tell you to do. Don't leave anything. Well, old Samuel was his prophet, and he stayed home. And Saul takes his army and he goes down to the Amalekites, and he's supposed to do what he comes to do. And he comes home, and Samuel says to him, he said, Saul, did you do what God told you to do? And Saul said, yeah. Yeah, I did what you said. He said, then why is it that I hear sheep bleating and I hear oxen bawling? You're supposed to wipe out everything. Well, how do I, why do I hear that? And Paul said, well, the people, I mean, not the whole there, my fault, just like kids, eh? I wasn't going to have it. Yet. This is what it was. He said, one thing, the people thought it would be a good idea if we brought some of the best ones home and just had sacrifice. That's the other part they had. And after Samuel got through calling him over the coast, back, you know what Paul said? Thought that I had sinned. I knew what I was supposed to do, and I knew it. I had sinned. I call that the marriage too fast. But I mean too hard because he had to do it in harm. How about this right here? Caught. I have seen. Caught. We might even go a step further and say caught red-handed. Is there a difference between being caught and caught red-handed? But we like to put that red-handed in there because it really sounds fierce when we put red-handed in here. Let me tell you about this one right here. This one was a man whose name was Achan. And after Israel inherited the new promised land, they crossed the river, they went to Jericho. God caused the walls of Jericho to fall. They moved on to another little town there close named Ai, and God told them, said, everything that happens here at Ai, all the loot, the spoilage and everything, that goes into God's treasury. And there was a fellow, there's always one in the bunch. Now this one right here is named Achan. You can read about this in Joshua chapter 7. And Achan, he lusted in his heart for some of the spoils. The Bible says he took silver and gold and fancy garments. What's supposed to do this? But he did, and he hid them, and he took them home, and he put them in his tent, and he went away to the family. But God knew. Nobody didn't see him. Nobody told him on him. But God knew. And a lot of times in caught, it may be that God's the only one who knows. God knows what I did. He knows what you did. Oh, that's the only person that knows. And you think to yourself, there's no way I can get caught. Because nobody knows it. And I ain't going to tell anybody. But in this case right here, now this is really dramatic how this happens. The Bible says, that after 36 men, the soldiers of Israel were killed, after God telling Joshua everything's going to be all right, Joshua goes to God and he said, God, what happened? Well, those 36 men, they're dead. You said we was going to be victorious. Everything's going to be fine. And God says this to him. He said, there's sin in the camp. Somebody's sin. And Joshua must have thought to himself, they had a census and they were 603,550 men. Joshua, how in the world are you going to find out who it was that sinned out of that many people? Well, they took this tribe, the tribe of Judah, and that narrowed it down to 1 and 12. And then they took the clans with each of these tribes and they make about 4 or 5 separations. And guess who is left standing? Achan caught red-handed. And so they go to his tent. And they flip back that cover and there's all this stuff. He wasn't supposed to get. And guess what Achan said? I have sinned. Well, now you say, after 36 people are dead, after our loss, after they were victorious over us, now, my question would have been, are the only reason that you're saying I have sinned because of being caught? How many people do we see in our society today? Oh, it's a big cover-up, but when they get caught red-handed, then they say, I made a mistake. Very seldom does anybody say I have sinned, but Achan said I have sinned. That brings us down now to a man whose name was Judas. New Testament. Now we're down to Judas. And I don't know really what leads up to this. I know that Judas was the treasurer among the 12 apostles. I do know that. He carried the money bag. And it may have been that he misunderstood what Jesus said concerning his kingdom. He must have thought, like some of the others did, now that Jesus was going to have a kingdom here on this earth, like our kind of kingdom, that he was going to sit on the throne. Now, I think that's got something to do with it, because I know two of his other disciples, James and John, one of them asked to sit on one side of Jesus, and one of them was asked to sit on the other. And I'm thinking that Judas thought, you mean tell me that kingdom's not going to be that kind of kingdom? Well, then I better get something out of it while it's getting good. I just wonder if he thought that. Maybe money. That's what people do today when they see him a lot of times. If there's money in it, look around the corner, they can be seeing it somewhere. It works that way. And I know that he went to the spiritual powers that be there in the city of Jerusalem, and they gave him some money. And he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And after he betrayed Jesus, he met him there in the garden, and he kissed him, that is, to identify him, and they took Jesus, put him under arrest. And after he done that, he thought, I made a terrible mistake. In order to rectify his mistake, he takes the money back where he got it, and he said, I don't want this. I made a mistake here, except he said, I have sinned. I have betrayed him as a brother. And they said, we can take the money back. There were three things under the law of Moses, and they were still living under the law of Moses at this point. There were three things, three kinds of money that could not go into the treasury. One of them was the price of a prostitute. One of them was the price of a dollar. And the other one was blood money. And that was blood money, and they would not put it back in the treasury. And the Bible said Judas went out and hanged himself. He said, I have seen him. Isn't that good enough? Oh, how fortunate that we are today that when we sin, that we can go to God in prayer, but we have got to have guts enough, and we've got to have humility enough that we go to God in prayer and say, God, I have sinned. I didn't just make a little mistake. I didn't make a bad decision. I sinned. And that's what we've got to say to God. And we don't have to hang ourselves or shoot ourselves because of it. Because when we do that and we are sincere, God will forgive us. But Judas killed himself, and that was his answer to it. I call it a
confession in despair. He was in such despair that was his way of solving the problem. And that leaves us with one more, and that's one that Brad read to us this morning. It's about a boy who's got a loving father, who's got a good home life, but he wants to see what's over the hill.
And so he leaves home against what his father really wants him to do. He goes into a foreign country, spends all his money, no friends around anymore, gets a job feeding the hogs, and that's about the sorriest, lowest thing that a Jewish boy could do, because the hogs were an unclean animal to a Jew. And he's sitting here, and here's all these hogs eating all around him and everything, and he says, I see. It's finally healed, it's finally dawned on him, he has seen. And he says what Brad read to us this morning, he said, I have sinned against heaven and against my father, and I will rise and go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned. That's what he said. Four verses later, he says, when he comes to his father, he said, Father, I have sinned. He said, it was. And I believe that was a sincere confession of sin. And the reason that I believe it's sincere is I don't believe that he would have ever got up out of that hog pen, wiped the blood off of his feet, and went home if he hadn't been sincere. What do you think? Sincere. That's all God wants you to be. But we have to be true and sincere with God. So I ask you this morning. Are you sincere with God? Am I sincere with God when I go to God in prayer and I say, Father, I have sinned, please forgive me? Or am I using one of those other excuses that I've got up here? It's the only reason I say it, because, well, I'm caught. Or it's crisis, or it's despair, or it's for some other reason. When we're sincere, and we ask God to forgive us, God will forgive us. Are you here this morning? Are you living in sin on the outside? The rules of the book, as God would have you to live, if you are, and if you'll be humble enough to admit, and if you'll say, I have sinned, God will forgive you. Be buried with him in baptism for the remission of those sins. God will put you in his church, and he'll continue to forgive you. What's wrong with you? Can you do it this morning? While standing,